Well, greetings, everyone. Open your Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 1 and take out your outline so you can follow along in case you're wondering, we're starting over. I'm sure you're probably looking at the method. I think he covered every conceivable warning in Proverbs. I did. But I want to bring out one, I believe, at the nuance. Give me a few moments to build my case, what I see here, that I think it's a little bit different than we're accustomed to seeing in the way of warning. It was the result of just thinking of it. Well, I came across a commentary that had all of the topics lined out, and he had this one little section, and I go, why did he have that? Because he was keying off of some words. And when I looked at him, I started to see a nuance that was a little different that I think it's important to pick up that sometimes we miss. That's my case. You decide at the end. But I call your attention to a passage of Scripture that we have already dealt with thoroughly. I'm not trying to hit it again and restate my notes. I simply want to bring out, because in this passage it makes that, in my mind, a distinction. So let's begin, verse 20. Proverbs 1, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter and work from there. Wisdom called out loud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her word. How long, you simple one, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. Turn up my rebuke. Surely I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdain all my counsel and would none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancy. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without the fear of evil. Let's pray. Father, please be with us tonight. When we kind of revisit the verses again, help us to see in a deeper way the warnings that you have given and how subtle and simple we kind of lull and put ourselves into a state of dullness and not realizing because of that we will pay a severe price. Lord, help us to look past and beyond the simple, strong words that we're accustomed to hearing and embracing and thinking of reaping and sowing. It is even deeper than that. So, Father, we pray that you would help us to understand how important it is when you speak and that we, by faith, accept what you have given to us. And not to do it, it is to our not only eternal peril, but even to our distress in life. So, Father, we pray that you would open your word to us, help it to be attentive, and help it to respond in a way that brings honor and glory to you, and ultimately that we would hear, heed, and respond to your voice in a way that is pleasing and glorifying to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Point number one, I have simply said, when your calamity comes, it says here in verse 24, I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, no one regarded. Because you disdain all my counsel, would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity and I'll mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you. The first thing I want to call your attention to is not what led up to it, but the absolute suddenness of the terror and distress that comes upon people who reject wisdom's call. In the idea here, when you look at the word calamity and the word destruction, it is the same Hebrew word. It's the word that means that when a sudden disastrous event comes into your life, or that brings great loss, damage, and destruction. This is the idea of what happens when you ignore and dismiss and disregard God's call of wisdom. But it comes, and it comes suddenly. It comes like a storm that comes out of nowhere. And it's a whirlwind that creates all kind of havoc. The word terror is a word, it's another word for fear, where you're not, the things that are hitting you in your life may be one big one or a wave of several of them that you're given over to the sense of fear and being overwhelmed, and you're now afraid. Afraid spiritually, afraid psychologically, afraid possibly even physically. These things happen in this life. Not in the next, this life. That's what we need to see. And then the word distress means trouble, affliction, and adversity. Things get hard, things get difficult. It's not the righteous imposing it upon the wicked, it is God imposing it upon the wicked. Those who refuse to heed his word. In the word anguish, it is a word that speaks of deep pressure and stress. Now we all know, and I stated it in our prayer, the law of reaping and sowing comes out of Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, which reads as follows: Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Clearly, throughout Scripture, we will get the fruit of our ways. But one of the things that's very clear in Galatians chapter 6 and throughout Scripture, it is always reaping and sowing presupposes following your action. When you have done wrong, you're going to have wrong done back to you. When you have sinned, it's going to come back on you. What Proverbs is teaching here is not your action, but your rejection of a mere offer. It's almost like the gospel. We all know that when you reject the gospel, it has eternal consequences. Same is true of wisdom, except it's not eternal in its consequences. It's temporal. It is, you're going to experience the hardness of life in this life, because built into wisdom's call is, if you embrace it, blessedness comes. Rejecting trials and tribulations are going to be a absolute in your life. All based on, no, I don't want it. Not based on you going out and doing sins and carrying out in ways that are sinful and wicked and diabolical and even to the point of abomination before the Lord. So when you look at this passage, we have to ask ourselves, how did this person get here where they were experiencing what we just talked about? And those of you who are young, you have not been in life long enough to see this happen to people. Those of you who are older have seen what happens when you reject God's offer of wisdom and the path of life and building your house on the rock, like we learn at the end of Matthew 7, which was at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So in looking at our passage, I already read, we don't need to look at them again, but in verses 20 through 23, the invitation had been extended, and it was extended for a long time. And if you know that, because how long are you going to put up and ignore and reject and simply not take the invitation? I have called, I have stretched out my hand, I have given you my counsel, I have given you my rebuke again and again and again. How long are you going to remain apathetic, dismissal, thinking it's not important? This is critical, because that apathy, you will pay a dear price for it. Then in verses 24 and 5, we see how the person got there. The call had been given again and again, time and time again. But in verses 24 and 25, God made it clear what happened. You refused. You did not regard it. You disdained all my counsel. You would not heed any of my correction. Over and over and over again, God did it. Over and over and over. And yet, when you look at it, when God gives his call and invitation to follow him and wisdom path and his ways, there is absolutely no rational, reasonable, justifiable reason to disregard the invitation of wisdom. To reject it, as verse 24 and 5 said, is absolutely the height of folly. But it was just an invitation. You guys, you and I, we get invitations all the time. Hey, why don't you come on over and let's have dinner? Why don't you come? You're invited to a birthday party. You're invited to a wedding. Nothing happens if you don't follow through. You know, you just don't get wedding cake and visit with friends and some things you met, but you don't pay a price like you pay for disregarding this invitation. This is nothing more than somebody making up their mind and had displayed willful stubbornness with no regard for wisdom's invitation. God is always reaching out and offering you his best. And for us to be apathetic, dead, dull, callous, cold, indifferent is unacceptable. But I got news for you. You didn't shake your fist at God. You just disregarded it. And it had serious consequences. That's why I share those words up front with you. When you do that, calamity, destruction, terror, distress, anguish is going to come upon you. It is interesting when you look at this, the word refuse means to utterly reject it. Not even, I'll think about it, but total dismissal. You have outright refused it. You didn't say, I'll think about it another time. You've already out of hand dismissed it. The word no regard means you don't get, it's not even worth my attention. You hear that people do that. I don't have any time, or I don't give any attention to the reading of God's precious word that it had the words of life. The preaching of his word and the preaching of his gospel are words of life. And yet, yeah, people through the years will sit in sermons and listen to them, and they are dead and dead as can be spiritually speaking to it. No regard. They even take on the spirit of being disdaining it. When is it going to get over? I wonder what the score is. I wonder who's winning the game now. I wish we hurry up so I can go do what I have planned to do after church. With no regard for wanting to hear the precious word and wisdom of God's word. That disdaining it, ignoring it, avoiding it, not worthy of attention or acknowledgement. That's a serious thing. It was all based on an invitation. When a person refuses to follow God's path, they will always suffer for their rejection. We cannot and we will not succeed in this life with God's blessing if we disdain His counsel and wisdom. There'll always be consequences when you disregard His call. We're talking about the call of a good life in this life. We know about the gospel call. We know the eternal significance of the gospel call. Not minimizing it. But Proverbs is talking about life in this world. How to live life that is pleasing to God with according to His wisdom. So we have here, when the storm and the whirlwind come, when the calamity and terror and destruction come, we learn later, it's too late. You've already went to the point of no return. You've already went to, when we read on, it talked about, and then they'll cry out, but I won't listen. Why? Because they did not choose the fear of the Lord. It is in my heart, I don't want anybody to have to experience those words. It is my heart in prayer, preaching this series, because I not only love this book my entire Christian life, I love this book because of its call of wisdom, and I can attest to you that God is faithful to His word. And I have met people, and I have many years, this year, this April, I will have been ordained in the ministry 40 years. I have seen a lot of people come and go. I have seen those who embraced it and been blessed, and I have seen those who ignored, do lip service to it, nominal, and whatever, and they have experienced the aftermath that we see here. As I stated, these are not eternal calamities. They're temporal distresses. The rejecting of the gospel brings eternal damnation. I touch on that. By refusing God's call of wisdom, one will face payday someday in this life or throughout life. And He said it in so many different ways, and it all was based on the simple fact that you and your fallen mind said, not important enough to get my attention. And God will get your attention one day that you took the wrong route. All based on an invitation. But praise God, He doesn't make the call or the offer once. Point number two. Danger of often being reproved. We now move from the invitation to your stubbornness is getting in the way and He's persistently coming after you. Proverbs 29 verse 1 says this, he who has often rebuked and hardened his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. We got the same result, but here we see a progression of constantly being warned and constantly being confronted and rebuked. Corrected, chastened, and you harden your neck, which is no different than the hardening of your heart. You stiffen up and you bolster rather than submit. It's like an oxen that will refuse the yoke instead of submitting to the yoke and letting it have its way with the owner. He who had often rebuked and hardened his neck will suddenly be destroyed. And when that happens, it's just like in Proverbs chapter 1. They'll call and cry out to me, but I won't hear. Suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Think of all of the repeated warnings and calls to repent that God had given to Israel through His priests and through His prophets throughout the Old Testament. It's surprising how often we see it if we take the time to trace it. Tonight we're going to look at some of those. For those taking note, you want to write this down. Jeremiah 25, verse 3 through 5. I will read this. If you want to get your Bible open, well, you might as well turn to Jeremiah 5, because we're going to look at 5:20. Jeremiah 5, while you're turning there, I'll read verses 3 through 5. Listen to these words. From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even to this day, this is, listen carefully, the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord hath come to me. Jeremiah is saying, it has been 23 years I have brought the word of the Lord to you people. And I have spoken to you, rising early, speaking, but you would have not listened. And the Lord has sent to you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. What was the method? And they said, repent. Now every one of his evil ways and his evil doing. Did not happen. Later on in Jeremiah chapter 17:23, he said this, but they did not obey nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff that they might not hear nor receive instruction. It's amazing what happens when you're sitting in the comfort of a padded pew, when the preaching of God's word is going forward. You're either hungry or learning, wanting to learn and be changed and transformed and conformed to it, or you are resisting it and fighting it and saying no, and I'm not going to listen to you. You don't do this, but you have selective hearing. You won't listen to it. That's no different than what Israel did. God is making his word known, and he's made it known repeatedly again and again. Now I ask you to go to Jeremiah 5. We're going to read a few verses here. If you're taking note, 5, verse 20 through 31. Follow the pattern here, looking for what I've been sharing with you. You know, we're at this point where the danger of often being reproved, okay? Remember Jeremiah and the history of Israel. The northern kingdom already went into captivity. We got Judah, the southern kingdom. Jeremiah, it's kind of the final last straw of the prophets to get the word out for them to turn and repent and turn back to God. Here's what he said in verse 20. Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, hear this now, O foolish people, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, who have ears and hear not. We're not talking about people who are blind and deaf. We're talking about people who are spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. Verse 22. Do you not fear me, said the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? Who have placed the sand at the bound of the sea by perpetual decree, and it cannot pass beyond it? And through its wave tossed to and fro, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. Talking about his power over the oceans and the wave, that they will never go beyond what God had decreed them to go. But this people had a defiant and rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed. They do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain both in the former and the latter in a season. He reserved for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. So talked about God who sends blessing, God who brings the rain that helped us to get good harvest. But notice what he said. Verse 25, your iniquities have turned these things away. Why do you not have rain anymore? Because of your iniquity. Why do you not have the great harvest that you once had? Because of your sin. And your sins have withheld good from you. You wonder why all of a sudden life went hard? You can't seem to get ahead and get anywhere. You turn your back on God. You're a backslider. You just simply slip away. And you're just going through the motion with religious trappings instead of really a heart that says, I want to fear God with my life. Verse 26, for among my people are found wicked men. they lie in wait at one who set snares and set a trap, and they catch men at cage full of bird, so their houses are full of deceit. Before I read on, one of the things that's hurting our country today, and even among Christian people, is the fact that we're always worried about our economy. We need to worry about the moral compass of this nation and ask God to turn her back to Him. So often we want prosperity. We're going to see that Israel had prosperity, but they didn't have His blessing on them. And He's going to tell them why. Note it again. At the end of verse 27, that the cage is full of birds and their houses are full of deceit. Therefore, they have become great and grown rich. They have grown fat. They are sleek, yet they surpass the deeds of the wicked. They do not plead the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy, they do not defend. Shall I not punish him for these things, said the Lord? Shall I not avenge myself on such a nation as this? He said, my goodness, I have sent my prophets day in and day in. I got them up early in life to bring the message to you. And all you're looking at is your prosperity. Why do we need to turn to the Lord now? God, life is good at the expense of the moral compass of the nation. The needy, the fatherless, those who, the oppressor is oppressing people who can't defend themselves. Where are the godly defending the helpless? Then noted these words, verse 30. An astonishing and a horrible thing had been committed in the land. Don't look at the next verse. If I were to stop there and ask you, what do you think that is? What do you think God is saying? I am looking at the land and I am astonished what is happening in the land. And he didn't even touch it. Notice what he said in verse 31. The prophets prophesied falsely, and the priests ruled by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? In other words, I don't want the truth, but give me falsehood. I don't want what God wants me to do to turn and come back to Him. I want to hear falsehood. I want to hear what I want to hear. New Testament, that I want what tickles my ears. They loved the false prophet, but they didn't love Jeremiah. They didn't love the Isaiah. They didn't love the great prophets that went and brought, thus saith the Lord, to the people. And they did it repeatedly, year after year. And they disdained it. In the way of an interjection, Proverbs 6:15, therefore his calamity will come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. What happened, and we're not going to read on, what happened is God sent Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans to come and to sack Jerusalem and enslave his people. Because, and when it came so fast that they didn't know what happened. But he warned them again and again and again. It was in the form of an invitation. Now I want to fast forward into the return stage. We're going to talk about Nehemiah. If you want to turn there, turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. For those taking notes, Nehemiah 9, verses 24 through 30. Because these same concepts are here, and yet it's amazing how throughout the scripture, especially the Old Testament, these truths are. Nehemiah 9, verse 24, so the people went in and possessed the land. You subdued. Now what's happening is Nehemiah is giving a history of Israel. And he's telling exactly what's happened and how they got to where they went into captivity. This is another angle. Aptly, if you know and remember our series in the book of Judges, you'll see it here in the pattern. So the people went in and possessed the land. They entered into the promised land. You subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gave them into their hand with their kings and the people of the land that they might do with them as they wish. And they took strong cities and rich land and possessed houses full of all good, cisterns already dug, vineyards, olive groves, fruit trees in abundance. So they ate and were filled and grew fat and delighted themselves in your great goodness. God was true to the blessing them with giving them of the promised land. But something happened. Verse 26, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against you, cast your law behind their backs, and killed your prophets who testified against them to turn them to yourself. Here's the message of the prophet. It can be summed up in this way. Turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. And that's why in this language he said to turn them to yourself. And they work great provocation. Therefore, you deliver them from the hand of their enemies. You oppress them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried to you, you heard from heaven. And according to your abundant mercy, you gave them deliverers who saved them from the hand of their enemy. And after they had rest, they again did evil before you. And therefore, you left them in the land of their enemies. And so they had dominion over them. And yet, when they returned and cried to you, you heard from heaven. And many times you have delivered them according to your mercy and testified against them that you might bring them back to your law. And yet they acted proudly and did not heed your commandment, but sinned against your judgment. Which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders, stiffened their neck, and would not hear. That is nothing more than the pattern of Judges. 7 times when they had prosperity, they went into affluence and sin. God sent oppressors. God brought deliverers. Judges that delivered them. And they had relative peace, and the cycle happened again. Again, and that's why he said many times you have delivered them according to your mercy. Did they deserve it? No. Verse 30. Yet for many years you had patience with them and testified against them by your spirit in your prophet. Yet they would not listen. Therefore you gave them into the hands of the people of the land. In other words, that is captivity. Captivity. Finally, God said, enough is enough. Enough is enough. And I have met people over the years who have always shamelessly looked at me and said, don't need it. Not going to happen to me. And it does. And it does. Many a times I've gotten phone calls or letters, nowadays emails, of people who wish they would have heard and listened and heed. 2 Chronicles 36, you don't need to go there, but write it down, 15 and 16. And the Lord, God of their fathers, sent warning to them by his messengers rising up early, sending them because he had compassion on his people, on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his word, and scoffed at his prophet until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people, till there was no remedy. You don't want to go to the point of no return. It is foolish to reject it outright at all. How about Zechariah, one of the minor prophets? Zechariah 7:11-13. But they refused to heed and shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their heart like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent by his spirit through the former prophet. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore, it happened that just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, said the Lord of hosts. Did we not read that at the end of Proverbs chapter 1, where they went to the point, and then they cried out, help! No, too late. Too late, same way here in Zechariah. Just like he proclaimed they would not hear, till they called out, and I, the Lord, would not listen. It is a serious thing to reject any invitation that God gives, whether it's wisdom for this life or salvation for the next life. It is the absolute height of folly and foolishness. Throughout Proverbs, it talked about when you take the path. For instance, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 with me, please. Many of you know this. This is kind of the charge that God had given to me as a pastor. But I want to pick up one little note here that will hopefully shed some light for you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Follow along. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Notice now. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. According to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers and will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. I want you to notice that verse in verse 4. There's a Greek structure here that tells you what it's saying. And that is, when you make that decision to turn your back on the truth, you will automatically default go to fables and falsehood. It's a given. When you reject truth, there's nothing else left to embrace but folly, falsehood, lies, and deception. That is a terrible shift. To exchange the truth and give up the truth, because you will always go to folly. No different in here than what we have in the book of Proverbs. If you reject wisdom, you automatically will go to folly. Foolishness, sin, unrighteousness. Yeah, you might not go as bad as some, but you will not fear the Lord and take wisdom's path. That was a stunning revelation to me, because that is exactly what happened. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. They made a conscientious decision. I don't want it. Therefore, I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not going to heed it. Don't want it. Did we not just read that in Jeremiah? And an astonishing thing has happened in the land. They will not hear the truth, but they'll listen to the false prophets. That's what happened. When you turn your back on truth, you will follow fables. And this passage says fables, falsehood, error, lie. Oh, I won't go that far. You turn your back on truth, you will automatically go that way. Give it time. Because you don't have it in yourself to do it unless you go all out to embrace and surrender to fear the Lord with all your heart. All righty. That was the preview. That was an extra one. Proverbs 10, verse 24 says, and 25, the fear of the wicked will come upon him. That's a guarantee. Proverbs 10:25, when the whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more. You see him, now you don't. Proverbs 14, verse 32, the wicked is vanity in his wickedness. Proverbs 24, verse 16, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. All based on, I don't want wisdom. I want what I want. I will determine my destiny. I'll determine what I want. I'll determine what's important. That is a foolish thing. God already told you what What did we do last week? Did we not do a methadone better than things that are more valuable than something else? He'd already given it the value system. We don't have the ability to know what's better. Point number three. I have to end it on a good note, amen? But that's not so with those who listen to wisdom, amen? It says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24 through 26, that's in here in the back on your outline. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord, listen to these words, for the Lord will be your confidence. He will be your confidence. He will be your trust. And will keep your foot from being caught. Even if you go back to Proverbs chapter 1 at the very last verse, I love it. God had, it seems like we don't listen to his warning, so he had to elaborate on several verses. From verse 20 to 32, it's all about the warning. Over and over and over, and all he had to do is give one verse that talked about the blessedness of those who rest in him. Here's what it said, verse 33. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without the fear of evil. Will they live a perfect life? No. Will they have a life trouble free? No. But they'll be blessed. They'll be blessed of the Lord. The Lord will protect and sustain and guide and lead and protect them. So we need to heed verse 26 of Proverbs 3. The Lord will be our confidence. That's who we go to. That's who we lean on. Not ourselves. Not in the government official. Not in the bureaucracy system. God and God alone is my confidence, is our confidence, beloved. Proverbs 8, verse 32 through 35 says it this way. Now therefore listen to me. This is wisdom calling. This is the wisdom chapter. This is the wisdom chapter of the wisdom book, Proverbs 8. It's almost like Job 28. But this is Proverbs 8. Therefore listen to me. This is wisdom calling now. My children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Beloved, where else would you want but that? Blessedness that comes from the ever-blessed God, to get God's favor, to find life as God defines life, fullness, purpose, significance, meaning. When we do it his way, see, it all predicated on when we do it his way. We can do superficial religious talk and religious action, but we need to follow the Lord in every area of our life to gain the blessings that come. That's why we went through the topical or subject and theme portion of Proverbs, because it talked a lot about how to handle relationships. The wrong way, that's folly and foolishness that brings hurtfulness and strife versus healing and restoration. How about Proverbs 10, 24 and 25? The same verses that I ended with on the wicked, I'm doing now with the same step on the righteous. Proverbs 10, 24 and 5. And the desire of the righteous will be granted. Verse 25. But the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Proverbs 14, 32. But the righteous had a refuge in his death. Proverbs 24, verse 16, for the righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. There's a difference between falling and a different verted calamity that God had created in the life of the wicked that we saw back in chapter 1 of Proverbs. The righteous man knows that he'll fall. He's not perfect. He'll get back up and follow the path. throughout Scripture, we have learned that God had given His beloved people rest, peace of mind, and protection. All you have to look at is the examples of Joseph, David. Were these perfect people? No. But they have experienced God's blessing because they followed God. How about Daniel. My goodness. A teenager goes into slavery. He works for the government that had enslaved his own people. Pretty much stayed there his whole time. My understanding, he never got to go back to his homeland. And yet, had people who scheme a deal to get him eaten by the lions. And God took care of him. I like him to say that Daniel probably had a good night's sleep among the lions. We don't know. I don't think he was fearful. He knew if God wanted to, he was able. And if he didn't want to, so be it. We can say the same for Paul. My goodness, look how many times Paul has been persecuted and beaten and tortured for sharing the gospel. And he never was ever given to despair because he knew God had his heart. Peter, John, and others. So, beloved, please heed the exhortation, the warning, the invitation that God gives for both this life and the next life. If you're not here tonight and you don't know Christ, your greatest need is His message of salvation through Jesus Christ and the gospel. But if you're a believer tonight, we're all called to walk wisdom's way, wisdom and heed the invitation of wisdom and to follow. And God had promised blessing that He had given us so many wonderful motives and incentives to follow this path. You want a good life? Follow this path. But you have to have Him help you and enable you to do it because we can't do it in and of ourselves because of our mind and our hearts and the things we like and desire gets in the way. We all have worldly hearts that need to be tamed by God and God alone through His Spirit and His Word. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for Your Word tonight. Help us to learn and to grow and to be what You have us to be. Father, may, Lord, help it to be as such that all You have to do is whisper the invitation and we're ready. We're ready to accept, ready to jump, ready to go all over it. Lord, may it not be because of Your repeated rebuke and repeated correction. May we be submissive, attentive, and having our hearts, our minds, and our ears inclined to You and Your Word and Your will. This is the life of blessedness. This is the good life that comes from an ever-blessed God. So, Father, help us to know that it's a wonderful thing to be at peace while people are in turmoil and struggling and like restless waves. We can be at peace because of Your goodness and grace and mercy. Oh, Father, help us to heed these words tonight. In Christ's name, amen.